On the way to the office this morning, we're going to actually read two different places in the Bible for our reading. Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. And then you want to mark that. And then mark Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. I just, on the way in today, God was just, again, I didn't hear it. I didn't hear him, but I really believe the Lord wants me to change when I preach the messages. And so this was supposed to be this afternoon, at least I thought it was. But so we're going to, if God lets me, I'm still planning to continue in Acts, but we're going to push that over to the 3 o'clock hour, okay? Unless the Lord changes that, which, you know, he could. He can if he wants. But anyway, I pray that it will be a blessing to you, and I pray that it will challenge you. The theme of this message is the vicarious death of the Lord Jesus Christ. The vicarious death. That word vicarious, we're going to talk about that. And so maybe you know what it means already. If you do, great. But that's what the Lord has led me to speak about in this morning time, all right? Genesis 2:17. Would you read it out loud with me? Just one verse. Genesis 2:17. Ready? Begin. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. You see that last word? Die. All right, now, let's go to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. And let's read responsively verses 8 through 12. Verses 8 through 12. Let's just read it all together, okay? We won't do every other. Let's just read the whole thing together. Romans 5, 8. Ready? But God commendeth his love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the Scriptures. I thank you for how your Holy Spirit ties them all together, and every verse is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, instruction. We pray that today, in this morning hour, that you would do that. I cannot do that. It's impossible. I am not capable of that, but your Holy Spirit is. We yield this time to you, and that we would, every verse would penetrate a heart, and that we would recognize anew and afresh the importance of the vicarious death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe so that for the very first time we see we deserve to die and go to hell, but we don't have to. In addition to that, I pray that you would equip believers to be able to teach this to someone else that may even come across our path before the day is out, before the week is out. And if for sure, before we go to heaven, that we would know how to teach someone about this as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for standing. We'll let you be seated. We began our reading in the Garden of Eden. In the Garden of Eden, God created everything from the beginning, okay? He created the Garden of Eden, all right? He created Adam. He created Eve. The Bible tells us that he took from the dust of the ground and breathed into the dust of the ground the nostrils of Adam, and man became a living soul. It's something that man has that no animal has. It has a living soul, meaning somewhere the soul of one of two places, when our body dies, the soul will live on. By the way, think of that now. The soul, the body of man is going to die, okay? We know that. We just saw this past Monday, some of us saw Brother Gord's body in a casket. We had a viewing before the service, those that were able to be in the building, and there he was. He looked just like Brother Gord. He had a suit coat on, he had a tie on, he had a pinstripe shirt on, he had some pins that were on his a coat, and it looked just like him, but it wasn't Brother Gord, right? It was his tabernacle, it was the body. He was no longer in that. We believe, according to Scripture, he was absent from his body, and as a believer, present with the Lord. And so that body, and I don't mean to be, I'm not trying to be morbid at all, but that body is now in a casket inside of a cement, whatever those things are called, I don't know, vault, I guess, maybe. And on Monday, they had it opened up, and some saw for the first time what it looks like, you know. And you can look way down in there, and it goes way down in there. And we sang Onward Christian Soldiers. There was, about six or seven of us men that were there. Brother Tillman was there, and the rest were from Anchor Baptist. And we gave some testimonies and read some scripture, and it was really a joyous time. But then when we ended it, the men came over from the cemetery, and they have these things, you know, you've been there, and the straps underneath, and the guy began to take over here in the corner, and he loosened it up, and just slowly, that casket, which was closed, obviously, this time, that casket just slowly went down. It got way down in there, about even with the ground, and we had already put some flowers on top and things like that. And, it's a difficult time. But you know what? That picture right there is one of the promises that God made to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And we just read about that, and the promise was, if you eat of the tree of the knowledge of the good and evil, you're going to die. Genesis 2:17 told us that. Now, I believe that that was talking about two deaths. I believe it was talking about a physical death. The body was not going to live forever. The curse came on the human body at that very point, as well as a spiritual death, and that's really what we're emphasizing. But as we go back to the Garden of Eden, prior to them taking of the fruit, there was perfect communion with God. They were walking and talking with God in the Garden of Eden, and as soon as they took a bite of that fruit, the Bible says their eyes became open, and they saw things really that they were not intended to see necessarily. And they realized, whoa, wait a minute here now. We need to get some clothes on. Now, there was nothing wrong with that prior to that bite of that fruit because there was innocence. There was no sin on the earth. Now, there was sin already, by the way. Don't think for a minute that bite of that whatever fruit was the first sin. It was not the first sin. That took place in the heart of Lucifer. And we read about that in the book of Isaiah where he said, I will, I will, I will, over and over again. Unfortunately, Adam and Eve gave in. Now, we fast forward ahead to the book of Romans. And the Bible refers back to what happened in the Garden of Eden. Look at Romans 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world. Again, that was not talking about Satan. It was talking about Adam and Eve. Adam, the sin of man, entered into the world. And because sin entered into the world, it entered into the bloodstream of mankind for all time, up until now and even moving forward, there's a command, there's a promise that God made to Adam and Eve, and it's still applicable today. The promise was clearly given. The command was clearly given. Do not eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. If you eat of the knowledge of the tree of good and evil, you will die. And that's exactly what happened. Their relationship with God, their fellowship with God, their fellowship with God changed at that very moment. It separated them between them and God, and there was something that was necessary for that fellowship to be restored, to have a relationship with God, and they tried to make it happen. They went around and they found the biggest leaves they could find to cover themselves, to cover their nakedness, and they did the best they could in the power of man to cover themselves. And we read, and we didn't read it today, we don't have time, but the Bible tells us that God gave them the true covering, and the true covering was that an animal had to die. Now don't lose this. Death brings life the way God works. Death always brings life. And God says, you know what, Adam and Eve, this isn't really in the Bible this way, but this is how I think about it. I see God coming over and saying, here, put these on. And God, the Bible says, gave them coats of skins of an animal. It's the first time we read of something dying. And again, there's no way that animal, what would have been shed by that animal would have been their blood. And it's a beautiful picture of what was coming later on, thousands of years later, but it shows us that God always works even in death. Death with God leads to life. Death always leads to life. And so in the Bible there in Romans 5:12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, notice, so death passed upon how many men? All men. Maybe you ought to circle that word all. It still means all, and that's all means. There is a death sentence passed upon every baby born of a woman that had a father, that had an earthly father and an earthly mother. Every baby born of a woman with an earthly father and an earthly mother, you understand why I'm saying it that way, because there's one that was born of a woman that did not have an earthly father. He is not, death did not pass upon him. We'll get to that. But the point is, every baby born that way, that beautiful little baby, you know, and the beautiful chubby cheeks and all the rest of it, it's born with a death sentence. The sentence that has been placed upon that baby is death. The Bible says death passed upon all men. All men. That doesn't mean there's no exception. That means you could go to the palace of whatever country you want to go to today, and a baby could be born in ultimate rich, with ultimate riches and ultimate pedigree, and everything about the birth would just be pristine. That baby has been given a death sentence. Or you could go with me to a few places that God's allowed me to travel. I think the most remote place possibly would have been Muhindi in, maybe Liberia as well. But anyway, one of those places. And you can go with me to a thatch hut, mud. And I'm not trying to be unkind, but there could be gnats and bugs flying around all over the place. Where in that palace, not a bug in sight possibly. And that baby could be born. And in both places, there's joy and celebration. But that baby as well was born with a death sentence. Somewhere in between what we would say, the riches of the rich and the poorest of the poor, is your story and my story. And by the way, it matters not if you are rich today in this world's goods or poor in this world's goods. You are living under a death sentence. I am living under a death sentence from the day I was born. It's passed upon every baby that has ever been born, having an earthly father, an earthly mother. Why is this, Pastor Turner? Because a holy God cannot overlook sin. God is holy. God's holiness will not allow sin into his presence. God's holiness will not allow sin into his presence. God's justice must punish sin. You know, people have questioned God and said, oh, what kind of a God judges people? And what kind of a God sends people to hell? By the way, he doesn't send people to hell. What kind of a God would even have a hell? He has a hell for the devil and his angels. That's the only people, I guess not people, that's the only entity, if you will, that God made hell for. But God is holy. Now, as we consider Romans 5, 8 to 11, we're seeing something within Romans 5, 8 to 11. we are seeing the ultimate level of love. You cannot find a greater level of love anywhere in this world, past, present, and future, than you find in Romans 5, 8 to 11. It's so, let's set aside everything that somebody's told you. You're out there today and you're saying, this is what I need. I need to know about God's love. Yes, you do. And so do I. But we know about it because of the vicarious death of the Lord Jesus Christ. God showed his ultimate level of love for fallen mankind. I am fallen mankind. You are fallen mankind. I had someone send me a note the other day and say, I talked to somebody about their sin and they didn't want to accept the fact that they were a sinner. Oh, my friend, today, don't let your pride of life, don't let that get in the way of experiencing the love of God. This is the greatest love that's ever been shown to mankind. And it's shown in a sacrifice. It's shown through the darkest hour of what some would say the darkest afternoon ever in the history of mankind. But I would say to you that while it was the darkest hour, it would become the brightest hour in your life and mine if we accept the vicarious death of the Lord Jesus Christ. For you see, the Bible says, in Romans 6 and 23, the wages of sin is death. You have an opportunity, sir, today. You have an opportunity, teenage young man, teenage young lady. You have an opportunity today, grandma. Somebody calls you grandma or mama or whatever they call you. You have an opportunity today to pass from death unto life. But it is so vital that you recognize this is not many ways. There are not many ways to pass from death to life. There is only one way. God showed the ultimate level of love for fallen mankind when he allowed Jesus Christ to vicariously die for you and me. All right, Pastor Turner, get to what is this vicariously? It means substitute. It means substitute. When we say the vicarious death of Jesus Christ, we say substitute. How many of you remember having a substitute teacher? I can remember one of my substitute teachers, by the way, she's with the Lord right now. I don't know if she's watching right now or not. She's probably watching over in Michigan where her family is from. But I remember a substitute teacher that I had who went to be with the Lord many years ago. And she was one of those substitute teachers that everybody in the class was ready to have as a substitute teacher. You know those kind of substitute teachers, the ones that let you do about everything. They want everybody to like them. And so they don't enforce the rules as much. And they just, you know, I mean, they're there. They don't let anybody get anybody in a headlock and pound on them. You can't do that. I'm talking about grade school right now, okay? Grade 5, grade 6, when I had this substitute teacher. But we loved it. I'm not even going to give her name. But we loved it when she would be our substitute teacher because, we could do whatever. Now, that was our fallen nature that loved that. That was our fallen nature. I'm not talking about that kind of substitute teacher that takes the place of, but it's the same idea in the place of. The teacher wasn't there, so a substitute would come. Oh, in a far greater way, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, became the substitute. You see, one day there's coming a day where every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess. One day I'm going to give an account, and one day I'm going to have to stand and answer to God, and I'm either going to die and go to hell for all eternity, because that is always the penalty of sin. Death. Or God's going to look at me. He's not even going to see me. He's going to see my substitute. He's going to see my Savior. He's going to see your Savior. Are you saved today? Oh, have you taken the gift of eternal life by the vicarious death of Jesus Christ? By the way, he already died in your place. He already paid the penalty. That's why it's amazing to me how many people will be deceived by the devil, and he's deceiving and deceiving and deceiving today. And it's why we need to continue to shine the light of the glorious gospel, because no one has to do anything but by faith receive what God's already died for. Christ has already died for the sin of the whole world. He didn't die for a select group. He didn't die for just the ones that that could speak English. He didn't die just for the ones that had money. He died for the sins of the whole world. But we must take that death. We must take that resurrection and that burial and resurrection, and we must receive it for ourselves. When the sinless Son of God died on the cross, notice verse 8, please. Notice verse 8, Romans 5, 8. But God commendeth his love toward us. That word commendeth means he showed it to us, or he proved it to us. Now, you know, he demonstrated it. I know there's many ways, and maybe you would think one of those words works better than another, but it's commendeth there in our King James Bible. He commendeth his love toward us. In that, look at this. While we were yet sinners, Jesus Christ died for sinners. Jesus Christ died in the place of me. Jesus Christ died in the place of you. We do not have to die and go to hell. Why? Because of the vicarious death of the Lord Jesus Christ. He died in my place. He died in your place. I was unworthy. I'm still unworthy. I was undeserving. I'm still undeserving. But the Lamb of God laid down his life as a sacrifice for my sin. He is my substitute today. Is he yours? He is my substitute today for my spiritual death. He is my substitute today. I do not have to go to hell. He conquered the grave. He conquered death. He conquered hell. He conquered all of it. And I chose to sin, and I was born in sin. And yet Jesus Christ, in my place, the Bible says, as he's on the cross, he said, "It is finished." What was finished? The vicarious death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sin's penalty had been paid. The blood had been taken from that cross and from the foot of that cross. And somehow, in a supernatural way, it had been taken for one time and one time only. It had been placed at the mercy seat of heaven. And oh, praise God, today I am living testimony. If you're saved, you're a living testimony of the joy that we have, knowing that we will only die once and not twice. Why? Because of the vicarious death of Jesus Christ. He took the place of unworthy like people like me. I am so unworthy. He took the place of unworthy people like you. We deserve to go to hell. Every single one of us deserves to pay the penalty of sin. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Jesus said, if you eat of the fruit, you're going to die. While we were yet sinners, oh my, think of that. Undeserving, unworthy. Jesus Christ is my substitute for the spiritual death. I deserved it. I deserved it due to being a sinner. Go with me, if you will, as we think about this word substitution now. That's what the word vicarious means. Would you have your Bible? And let's look at several verses of Scripture. Look with me at Isaiah. Oh, I know I'm speaking maybe to many people who are saved. If you're saved, I hope your heart is overwhelmed with joy and thanksgiving and praise to be reminded once again of the vicarious death of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that you do not have to die and go to hell. Not only I pray that those of us that are saved are overwhelmed with joy and thanksgiving and giving praise to God, even as this message is moving forward, that even in your spirit and soul, you're talking to the Lord and you're thanking him for that death, that you need not die. But we're also learning once again about this doctrine of Jesus Christ. We've been emphasizing his life. If you've been following the afternoon meetings, we've been emphasizing his life, a few Wednesday meetings a few months back, emphasizing different things about Jesus Christ. And this is a vital doctrine that you need to be able to talk to people about. I need to be able to explain this to people. Isaiah chapter 53. I'm sure you've read these verses before. We're going to motor through these and a few others follow along. Verse 4. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. He was our substitute. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for not his transgressions, because he was without sin. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Can you underline that word "our" in your Bible, or circle that word "our"? He was my substitute for my transgressions. He was my substitute for my iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Our, we. He was our substitute. Verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And it goes on to talk about it there. He is our substitute. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. God is bringing right now, as I'm turning in my Bible, the Lord is bringing some names to mind of people that in recent days I've been praying for. And I'm not a prayer warrior like I should be. I'm not lifting myself up. Please don't think that. I'm just making a point that God has been having me pray for certain people. Some of you might be watching the service right now. I just want you to know God's bringing you to my mind, and we're praying for you to get saved. We're praying for you to want to make today the 20th day of December 2020 that you would receive by faith the death of the Lord Jesus Christ to your account. Otherwise, if you die without Christ, you will not only die physically, but you will die for all eternity in the lake of fire. Why would anyone reject the substitution? Some would reject because they feel they don't need it. Oh, when I die, that's just going to be the end of it. We don't see that in the Scriptures, do we? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the Bible says in verse 21, "For He hath made Him to be sin for us." To be sin for us. What does sin always bring? Death. Our substitute. Who knew no sin? How could Jesus do this? How could the Son of God die vicariously for billions and billions and billions of people? He could because He was God, and He could because He is sinless. That we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Our substitute. Look at 1 Peter 2, please. 1 Peter 2. Jesus Christ, vicarious death, our substitute. 1 Peter chapter 2. The Bible says in verse 24, let's read 21. "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow in His steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth, who when He was reviled, reviled not again, when He suffered, He threatened not, but committed Himself to Him that judgeth righteously." Notice, "who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we," you know what you could do? You could write your name right there. That Ben Turner. That Nathan Raver. You could put your name right there. Well, don't write Nathan Raver or Ben Turner, because that's not your name. That's my name, okay? "That Ben Turner, being dead to sins." Amen. Come on now. You got to get excited about this stuff. If you're on your way to heaven, there's a lot to rejoice in. In 2020, doesn't matter what year it is, doesn't matter what's going on, this should light your wet wood today. "That we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes Ben Turner was healed." Put your name in there. Put your name in there if you've been saved. Make it personal. "Who His own self bare and my sins in His body," our sins in His body. Whatever your name is, if you've trusted Christ as Savior, He paid the penalty for your sin, that you might live in freedom, that you might live unto righteousness, our substitute. Jesus Christ was and is our legal substitute. When God punished Jesus, God was punishing us. Look back at our text, Romans 5. When God punished His Son, oh, think of that. I don't know. We'll never be able to understand that in the human body that we have right now. That a father would allow his son face the death of the cross, the mockery, the cat of nine tails, the reed, crown of thorns, the beard being plucked out, being spat on, nails going through his hands and his feet. God punished His Son. He was punishing me. I don't have to go to hell now. Because my sins have been paid for. I was his enemy. I was his enemy. Who dies for their enemy? Nobody dies for their enemy. In battle, the enemy is to be killed. Remember, in God's way, death is life. In God's way, death made me no longer an enemy. For if when we were enemies, verse 10, we were reconciled to God by the what? Oh, on that day when he could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free, he died alone for you and me. He substituted. Don't reject his love. Don't reject his vicarious death. Receive it today. Come to Christ today. You can be made whole. You can be set free today. Heaven can be your home today. The Bible says here, by his death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. The word reconciled means restored to favor with God. Only by the death of Christ, only by the death of that, the symbolism of the death of that animal in the Garden of Eden. Here, Put these coats on. These will do a better job than those, whatever kind of leaves. Again, death, bloodshed, reconciled. 1 Peter 3:18, for God also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he, for Christ also, excuse me, hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to what? Death. Sin brings death. God takes the death of Jesus and brings life. Think of it. Being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. The word justified means made innocent of all sin. We read in 1 Corinthians 15 about the gospel. We won't turn there for time. 15:1-4, the Bible talks about Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. This is the gospel. We cannot have the gospel without the vicarious death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn with me, if you will, to Revelation 5. Revelation 5. My substitute. Your substitute if you've been saved. Revelation 5, verse 8, the Bible says, and when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof, for thou wast what? Slain. Suffering brought joy. Pain brought healing. There's no death like it. There never will be one like it. We can in our own human frailties, we can relate to what death does to us emotionally. Can you go back with me? We won't turn, but go back with me in your remembrance of the Garden of Gethsemane. As yes, he was God, he was also a man. There is that emotional side of death. Being God and knowing what was coming, Jesus under great pressure and under great agony and no doubt even temptation of the devil himself, let this cup pass from me. He wasn't asking to be let out of the responsibility, but he knew the emotional side. He knew the wrath of God that was coming. Nevertheless, he said, not my will. Wrath of God was poured out on his son as he hung on the cross, turning his back on his own precious son while it was dark in the middle of the day and the temple rent from the bottom to the top, symbolizing the fact that we now can go to God through the Son of God and his precious blood. Today as Christians, we have direct access to the throne room of God, and I'm so grateful for that. But it's because of this death, this vicarious death. Not only do we have heaven, but we have hope now. We have help now. Why? Because of death. Death brought life. They sung a new song saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God. By thy what? Blood. Revelation 5:9. Out of every kindred, tongue and people and nation. Oh, it's going to be wonderful in heaven. Red and yellow, black and white, brown, olive color, whatever color we are. Every kindred, every tongue, every people, every nation. And hast made us unto our God kings and priests. We shall reign on the earth. Go back to the beginning, the middle of verse 9. This is talking about Jesus, for thou, or the lamb in verse 8, for thou wast slain. Death brought life. His pure blood was shed in order to provide remission or forgiveness of sin. In 1 John 1:7, we read, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. In Romans 3:24 and 25, we read, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation, a sacrifice through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. Romans 5 and 15 says, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one, this is in our text, Romans 5:15, for the offense of one, many be dead, Adam, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto men. There's absolutely no reason for anyone to die and go to hell. It's a choice. God sends no one to hell. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. How can this happen? Because Jesus Christ, God's Son, became your substitute, became my substitute. Sin always brings death, and it's passed upon all men. The king in the palace, a poor person in the jungle or the mountain of a third world country, death passed upon. God who is rich in mercy. But God commendeth his love for us. In that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He became vicariously. He became my sacrifice. Your sacrifice. Have you accepted that gift yet? All you have to do by faith, say, I'm a sinner. I deserve, folks, I deserve to die and go to hell. I deserve that. Pastor Ben Turner deserves to go to hell. Only because of God's grace and because of this vicarious death of Jesus Christ do I have any hope of heaven. And I do have the hope of heaven completely. I'm as good there now, right now, as I am. I'm not waiting for eternal life. I have it right now. If you're saved, you're not waiting for eternal life. Don't forget that. Mark it down. You're not waiting for eternal life. You have eternal life right now. It is a present possession. Don't live by fear. Live by faith. Oh, but if you don't know Christ as Savior, I hope that the fear of God comes over you. bring you the faith in the Son of God. You would be willing today by faith to receive this gift. John 1:12 says this, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name. He'll receive the king. He'll receive the person with no money or very little of this world's goods. He'll receive everyone. This gift was made possible because of the cross. Oh, but let's not leave Jesus in the tomb, right? We sang earlier, he lives. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. John tells us, and all the gospel accounts tell us, that 3 days later they went by the tomb and, oh, stone's not there. And the angel says, he's not here. He is risen. Come see the place where the Lord is. Oh yes, he died vicariously and he shed his precious blood so that we could be forgiven. But he had to also conquer death. He did. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose the victor from the dark domain and he lives forever, seated at the right hand of the throne of God, interceding on our behalf right now with his saints. Vicarious, substitutionary death of Jesus.